So just a brief prayer of mercy for honoring this Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever way I'm able to, by mercy of those here present and my Guru Maharaj and previous Acharyas, Srila Prabhupada. This is from the Padma Purana. Samsara sagre magnam dinamam kurunidhi karma grihaya gritangam mamudava bhavam aval. I have fallen into the ocean of repeated birth and death, and I am totally distressed. My karma is like crocodiles ready to bite me. O ocean of mercy, please pick me up from the ocean of material existence. Srimad Bhagavata Kayayoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Evahi Savrikritoshi Mayanata Mutayam Bhavasagare. This Srimad Bhagavatam is actually Krishna himself. O my Lord, to get release from this cycle of birth and death, I have taken shelter at your lotus feet. Manorate madhyayoyam sapala savatavaya nivaginaiva kartavyam dashaham tava keshava. My dear Keshava, I am your servant. Please fulfill this desire of mine in serving you through the Srimad Bhagavatam. Narayan namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devam sarasvatam vyasam tato jayam udiyet. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, and unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and unto Vyasadeva, the author. So we continue now. Yes, it's Canto 7. It's chapter 13. And it's text 23. And it's continuing this pastime that's been narrated where King Prahlad Maharaj has met this sage. He's asking questions, sort of very personal questions, actually. You know, it's like somebody says, "Why are you fat?" You know, how would we take it? You know, but this great sage, he has this understanding. He understands the greatness of this soul, Prahlad Maharaj, because he himself is great. It takes one to know one, they say. And so he accepts the inquiry from Prahlad Maharaj. And this comment that he's lying or staying like a python waiting for his subsistence to come from the Lord. His existence is dependent on not his own endeavor, but that which comes to him by the grace of the Lord. He's Paramahamsa. And yet sometimes we think that maybe, you know, it'll all happen for me. I don't have to do anything. Well, it tells us otherwise from this text and purport today, actually. Because he's got where he is from somebody else. He's derived his spiritual qualities and strength from somewhere else. Translation and purport. by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. My dear King, although you know everything, you have posed some questions which I shall try to answer according to what I have learned by hearing from authorities. I cannot remain silent in this regard, for a personality like you is just fit to be spoken to by one who desires self-purification. So if you repeat after me each phrase. My dear King, although you know everything, you have posed some questions, which I shall try to answer according to what I have learned by hearing from authorities. I cannot remain silent in this regard. For a personality like you is just fit to be spoken to by one who desires self-purification. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A saintly person doesn't wish to speak to anyone and everyone, and he is therefore grave and silent. Generally, a common man does not need to be advised, unless one is prepared to take instructions. It is said that a saintly person should not address him. Although sometimes, because of his kindness, a saintly person speaks to ordinary men. As for Prahlad Maharaj, however, since he was not a common, ordinary man, whatever questions he posed would have to be answered, even by a great and exalted personality. Therefore, the saintly Brahmana did not remain silent, but began to answer. These answers, however, were not concocted by him. This is indicated by the words yata srutam, meaning as I have heard from the authorities. In the parampara system, when the questions are bona fide, the answers are bona fide. No one should attempt to create or manufacture answers. One must refer to the shastras and give answers according to the Vedic understanding. The words yata srutam refer to Vedic knowledge. The Vedas are known as Shruti because this knowledge is received from authorities. The statements of the Vedas are known as Shruti Pramanam. One should quote evidence from the Shruti, the Vedas, or Vedic literature, and then one's statements will be correct. Otherwise, one's words will proceed from mental concoction. Om Adhyanatim Marandasya Jananjana Salakeya Jaksho On Militam Yena Tasmay Sri Gurave Namaha. So, it's a wonderful verse. It shows interaction between great personalities. Though they're great personalities, the approach to each other is one of total humility, actually. they are considering the other person and how he feels, what he, you know, sort of what his situation is. So they are attentive to each other. And so here it says, "My dear king, although you know everything, you've posed some questions, which I shall answer according to what I've heard from authorities." Again, this is the position of great souls. The position that actually they have to hear from authority. It cannot be taken from any, as it's commented here, from a mental concoction. They will hear through, as quoted in the Bhagavad Gita, the parampara system, evam parampara praptam imam rajasuyo vidhu sakalenaha mahata yogo nasta parantapa. It says this supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings have understood it in that way. Now, can I ask somebody to get me a Bhagavad Gita down? I just want to read part of the purport there. So the saintly kings have understood it in this way. And so Prahlad Maharaj is a saintly king. Thank you. And with this, this was recognized by this great soul. This is a saintly king who's inquiring from him. And his reply, he says, "I'll answer you, but I have to refer to authorities." And this is what Prabhupada, this is his great, great strength. His empowerment came through authority. It's what we call safe ground. It's certainly that we've been born, as it says in chapter 7, that we're born into this world as we're jiva tattva. We've come into this world and that we're exploiting the resources of the material nature according to our desires. We've been given a body according to our desires. It's been constructed in such a way that will have a certain taste, a certain ear, a certain it will pick up aromas, and it will be according to desire. But then it says later in that chapter, we're born into desire and hatred. And there's such a powerful statement from Krishna. That means like and dislike. And where does this like and dislike come from? It comes from all the senses. And we should know that this body, and it says matrasparshas tukunti astoshna sukha dukada agamam piyono nityas tam tatiksho bharata. It says, O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress, like, dislike, they come from sense perception. But then it says that we've got to learn to tolerate them. We've got to learn to tolerate our happiness, and we have to tolerate distress. Now, I think most people seem to be able to tolerate happiness, but the distress is the other side of the coin. But actually, both will delude us. Because if it's derived from the body senses, and so-called mind, chief of the senses, because the mind has been constructed in such a way that it's full of desires. It likes this, it doesn't like that. So it's attraction and rejection. And so the mind, you know, we should know that actually it's nothing to do with actually the real nature of ourselves. The spirit soul, as is explained, is full of joy, knowledge, and bliss. But because, and it states in chapter 5, that it's trapped in an ocean of material existence. This body is an ocean of material senses, material desires. And it's trapped there. It's covered. It's been influenced by this powerful nature. And so it says in Bhagavad Gita, Daivi hayesha gunamai mama maya duryatyaya mame veye prapjanti mayam etam tarantite. It says, this divine energy of mine. So Krishna says that actually this material nature, whatever's happening here, it's his divine nature, but it's his inferior divine nature. He says it's very difficult, it's difficult to overcome, but those who surrender to me can cross beyond it. So what does this surrender mean? Well, we say that we're now in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says that maybe this surrender that Krishna calls for in the Bhagavad Gita is just part of it. It's not the complete story. I come to give indiscriminately to everyone without qualification. There's no qualification. I can give this Krishna Prem, which is a much sought after, the highest goal of life in this particular age, in this particular age of Kali, right in this millennium. So it's a very unique position, and we should appreciate this. It's not to be given sort of a, oh, we've got it, you know, Mahaprabhu's with us, we're okay. No, Mahaprabhu actually is very strict, very strict. He showed it with his associates, how strict he was. You know, Chota Haridas, he was so strict with him about his exchange with a woman. He says, you know, this is not for a person in the renounced order of life. And so he said that I can't accept you. And Chota Haridas, he actually committed suicide in the Ganga. And with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, it's a pastime, and it's understood that Chota Haridas would reunite with Mahaprabhu. Just like Judas Iscariot was a instrument for God in the pastimes of Lord Jesus when he was here. He was actually put in the position where he betrayed that person he loved. He loved Jesus. But he showed also that this love was directed towards the pious nature of a good person in this world. Judas Iscariot was pointing out that we should help the poor. You shouldn't point ointment on Jesus. That money can be used to help the poor. But Jesus pointed out the nature of this world. He knew the nature of this world. It's dukkhalayam. He says, the poor will always be with us, but I shall not. So the great souls, we have to understand that they're special. They're really giving us an amazing... they're acharyas. They lead by example. So in this purport for where in the Bhagavad Gita, where it says we can cross over the material agnostria, the modes of material nature, this material nature, if we surrender to Krishna. It's Mahaprabhu gave us the chanting of the holy names. But this chanting of the holy names, we need to clarify what that is. It's Krishna himself. But it's the most merciful form of Krishna. Very merciful. And it says, there's no rules or regulations for chanting these names in the Shiksaks to come. But then we find out, there are offenses to the name. So it says there's no rules or regulations, yet there are offenses. What is the difference between rules and regulations? We should contemplate this, actually. Offenses are those things that are to do with personal nature. You know, a person to person. And then it says there are no hard and fast rules. Now, how we treat each other, there we follow an etiquette. It's to protect us, you know, with this from this Vaishnava aparad. And these offenses are to do with person to person. It means, it says that our behavior with each other is very important, but we don't make laws, rules, regulations. Rules and regulations are not followed by the heart, actually. They're there as guidelines. You know, the country has to make rules and regulations, but there are those that will disobey those laws. So they're there. But these laws of the offenses to the holy name is based on a personal relationship. We should understand that the holy names are a person. And this person, this Nam, has a relationship with every living being. And those who hear the holy names, they're purified. Shri Shri Radha Gokul Nanda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornita Ki Jai. So, this is, I'm trying to point out that actually this is like this list of 10 offenses, they're reminders of those things that can affect our relationship with the name, the holy name. And the first one is that we shouldn't blaspheme devotees. It's a sort of an obvious one, but it's not obvious to others, because in this world, it's based on, you know, getting to the top, achieving by any means, and. This relationship between the living entity sometimes is not considered. It's so people will do anything to achieve their aims in this material existence. But in the spiritual life, we can kill our spiritual life if we don't follow this advice. It's advice. It's telling us, don't talk about each other. Don't, you know, tittle-tattle. Whatever happens to you in this, in our relationships, it should be based on authority. There are those who, a specific role is to criticize, to actually correct. They're the spiritual masters and the shiksha gurus. Those who say, or your immediate authority who may be to do with some, like in our case, it's like cleaning service or something like this, you know, from my point of view. Or the manager of the deities, the deity worship. We have to follow what they say. But if, however, we feel differently, we make up our own way, then we're we're onto the offences. We're then disobeying the basic principles of what this succession is all about. It's authority. We have to hear from authority. Even though we may think they're right, they're wrong, you know, who knows? We have no conception of right or wrong, actually. No real conception of right or wrong, other than that we're asked to follow a certain line of authority. Prabhupada created from this sastra, this, he says, if you do this, this will happen. If you follow some authority, then you're safe. Because the authority is the person responsible for whatever happens subsequent to that. But if we, out of our own independence, take ourselves away from authority, then we're on a difficult course. Because it says in the purport to that verse where we surrender to Krishna if we want to cross over these modes, he says, a person who's tied up, bound by the modes of the ropes of modes of material nature, cannot untie themselves. It has to be one who is already unbound. One who is not himself tied. And why is that person not tied up? Because they themselves have been freed by someone who's also untied. From authority. This authority is this thing that is going to untie these ropes of the material nature. The material nature that we've become conditioned by and have so many desires for. We have to take shelter of authority. And in this way, you're completely safe, actually. Safe, when I say safe, there should be a state of fearlessness, actually. Because Prabhupada has devised this. We should trust him. Because he is our authority, our founder acharya. We should trust that. But if we start to think that maybe I can do this way, it's okay, or it doesn't matter, then we're losing the point. We're losing this because we're on a training ground. We're for devotional service. The holy name takes us to devotional service. It itself is devotional service. It's that which will open our eyes. It will give us understanding of what we're doing each day. So we chant Hare Krishna, and then we embark on devotional service, and that should open our eyes to our service and how precious it is. It will show us what Krishna is pleased with. It will show us also what he's displeased with. Because we'll get some knowledge. This knowledge is sometimes we don't like to see certain types of knowledge that maybe what I did wasn't such a good thing. But it's the best knowledge, because no correction can come from ignorance. Otherwise we carry on with our own ignorance. We're left with ourselves. It's a terrible lonely place, actually. It's impersonal. It's what Mayavadis do. They're left with themselves. they're left with their own creation of the supreme, which is unfortunate. It's a very lonely place because they cut themselves off from relationship. They want to be one. They want to go into the Brahma Jyoti where there is no exchange. It's just eternity. So-called Shanti. The bliss is not there. There's no love, no exchange, no relationship. It's a self-imposed solitary confinement by their desire to get away from suffering. So their desire has deluded them. It says, because there's relationships in the world, then this is the source of suffering. But actually, the source of suffering is our imperfection in relationships. Not knowing what pure relationships are about. And this is what Bhakti Yoga is all about. It's telling us that we should give unconditionally. Don't worry, Krishna says. Give unconditionally, serve unconditionally. I'm in charge of the result. He said to Arjuna on the battlefield, we were speaking about this last night. Be an instrument. You're there. Authority has asked you to do something, whether it be your spiritual master or temple authority. You're safe. Because it's the spirit soul that is doing the giving. Not this body. The spirit soul, if we take the nature of the spirit soul, which is, its eternal nature is that of a servant. If we take up that role, or we remember that role, or we practice that role, it will become natural. Because there are certain things that will come from that. And we'll start to feel real happiness, real bliss. And actually, the external world will have no significance. I take the point, you know, those people that are on Sankirtan, they go out there, and my goodness, they're up against it. You know, the modes of material nature. So they're struggling with the modes of material nature that actually, and they get abuse, but also, they'll get reciprocation that somebody wants to know this knowledge. And that's also under the control of the Supreme Lord. We know when somebody takes this knowledge, they're ready. But we can reject this knowledge even though we've taken to the path if we're not careful. By not following authority. We just get stuck with ourselves. So the whole thing is, it's a risk for the soul. The soul by nature is free. It doesn't have any inhibitions. It'll do anything for Krishna. Anything. Because it's eternal. It's full of bliss. Full of knowledge. Knowledge, actually, the real knowledge is that I'm an eternal servitor of Krishna. That's the pinnacle of knowledge. It's a very simple statement. But if we can't take up this servitorship, if we want to control our service, then we start to find some struggle there. Within ourselves. So this great soul, he knows that whatever he's got has come through authority. And I just want to read one last thing because it's coming up to 8:30. It's from the Canto 11. and it's chapter 2 and it's text 38. And it shows the nature of the mind and the conditioned nature. So it says here, I'll read the translation. Although the duality of the material world does not ultimately exist, the conditioned soul experiences it as real under the influence of his own conditioned intelligence. So our conditioned intelligence is based on desire, like, dislike. But it's not real, because it proceeds to say, the imaginary experience of the world separate from Krishna can be compared to acts of dreaming and desiring. If we go into this world where we see everything as separate from Krishna, that somehow or other, I like this Krishna, but I don't like this Krishna, but actually, aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartati itim avam pajantiman buddha bhava samamita. Everything comes from Krishna. And if somebody knows that, they'll serve him. They'll take to devotional service with all their heart. That's what it says there. So, in the imaginary world of our desires, our own conditioning, we see things separate from Krishna. We see that whatever controls there may be for our devotional service, we don't see that as Krishna. We'll see it as something that comes from that person. But actually, Sadhu Sangha, where all the devotees are together, are our lifesaver. You know, so then it says, so we see a world separate from Krishna. It's comparing it to dreaming and desiring. When the conditioned soul dreams at night something desirable or horrible, when he daydreams of what he would like to have or avoid, he creates a reality that has no experience beyond his own imagination. It's a mental concoction. This is what this great sage is talking about. It's a mental concoction. Our likes, desire, our likes and dislikes create an imaginary world. So this is why we have to come through authority. This is why we'll do something that we don't like to do, but at the end it will be nectar. Because Krishna will take over. So then it says, the tendency of the mind is to accept and reject various activities based on sense gratification. Therefore, an intelligent person should control the mind, restricting it from the illusion of seeing things separate from Krishna. And when the mind is thus controlled, he will experience actual fearlessness. So we don't need to worry. Oh, this service has come up. I haven't finished chanting my rounds yet. What am I gonna do? I'll shortcut my service. And I'll nip off and get my rounds done. This is fear. This is fear. We can't be controlled by fear. Because we'll never know the nature of the soul. This freedom. We're in a cage of fear. So, this sage here, he's lying there like a python. But he knows the nature of everything. He's gone through authority. Who's put him in that position? So we should know, whatever position we're put in, if it comes from authority, don't worry. Even if you feel this authority may be a demon, you still shouldn't worry, because it's the authority that takes all reactions. You should understand that. You should have no fear. And this was in answer to a Gaugavinda Swami question, where the disciple says, what if my spiritual master is deviating? But this person, he carries out following the spiritual master's instruction. What happens to him? He says he's safe. Why? Why is he safe? Because Krishna sees his sincerity. He sees his heart. He's safe no matter what. Krishna's in charge. So, there you go. Watch out for the mental concoction. So I'm sorry about it. Went on a bit longer than I expected.